Wise Adeen Muhammad. Takbir. Takbir.
Peace to you. The Muslim greeting is Assalamu Alaikum. We thank Allah for our presence here. That is, we thank God for our presence here in Jackson and for the program of the masjid here and the leadership of Imam Harrison Dean and his wonderful friends and supporters in the city. This is not my first visit to Jackson. We've had at least three, I'm sure, in the area, and to Jackson, I believe. I remember the visit to Whitman, and we had many of you from Jackson to come to that meeting that we had in Whitman. Islam is religion, and religion is life, and religion is peace. When we hear the call to worship made five times a day in a Muslim community or a Muslim neighborhood where there's a mosque nearby your home, you can hear five times a day the call to worship or the call to prayer. And the call is a call to life. The word for call, for the verb call, comes from the word life. Hay. Hay. It says, Hayy ala salat. Come to prayer. The call to Islam, then, is a call to life. And if you understand that religion of Islam is also the religion of the people of the book, by our reasoning, not by their reasoning, by our reasoning, we're taught in Islam, and the Quran gave us this, that all creation was created to be Muslim. All creation was made to be Muslim. Muslim means accepting the will of God. That's what Muslims mean. Muslim means accepting the will of God. Accepting it peacefully. Accepting the will of God and accepting it peacefully, not rebelling against it, not disliking it. But I guess for that reason, we are told by God in our holy book, La ikraha fid din, let there be not any forcing people to accept the religion. La ikraha fid din. Let there be not any forcing people to accept religion. Do not compel them in religion. Islam is life. Islam is life. And as the Old Testament and the New Testament promise God's worshippers life and a good life, so is the promise in the Quran. It is the same. God says that He will give His worshippers life and a good life and good establishments. And good establishments. I'm a familiar person with the Bible, and also I've studied the Bible, so I may say I was a student of the Bible, and may in some way still be a student of the Bible. I'm very familiar with the Bible. And God says in the Bible also that He will give His worshippers mansions. That's a good establishment. mansions, good establishments, and dwellings where they will have, be secure and have the beautiful and good things that their hearts or that their souls wanted. This is a promise that is in the great religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Then what has Islam specifically or particularly to offer then if we are called to life by the three great religions, and the three great religions promise good life and good establishments, the fulfillment of all good desires? But what is it that distinguishes Islam? What is the special feature of Islam? The special feature of Islam is to bring the knowledge in common plain language, or to put it in the common language of the people, so that the people can more readily get the benefit of it. Now, is Islam doing something against Judaism when it does that? Is Islam doing something against Christianity when it does that? No, because this is the promise in the Old Testament that the message is going to get clearer and clearer, plainer and plainer, so that there will be no mistaking. There will be no burden on the average person to understand it. Since it will be made plain, so even a fool would not err if he wanted to go straight. This is the promise in books that came before, the holy book of Islam, the Quran. In the Quran, God plainly says to us, this book, is a collection of the former books in their correct form, and an explanation, explaining the former books so that it will be easy for the common mind to understand, more easy for the common mind to understand. This is God's will. This is God's plan. God intended the way to bring the humanity, the whole population of mankind, people of earth, to him by this strategy, or by this, I would say, mystery. It is a mystery. We know every child is created in darkness and delivered into the light of the world from his mother. But all human beings are formed in darkness, and not only human beings, other life of the womb, formed in darkness and delivered into the world, into the light, after being formed in darkness. We who came by the strange route that brought us to this religion, and in the day of light, in the light of day, we were formed in the darkness. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, before he died, he gave a series of talks or lectures on the triple darkness, to leave it with us before he died, that we were formed in darkness. Not one darkness, three wounds of darkness, or triple darkness. The Quran mentions these three darknesses, and it's translated in English as veils of darkness, three veils of darkness. So we should understand that this is the way of God, to advance the people's knowledge and life from darkness to light. And Allah says that He is the one who also reverses this. He brings people from the light into the darkness. Just like the rotation of night and day, of day and night. Begin with the night. Genesis begins with the night. Oh, well, how does the Quran tell the story? Does the Quran say that night was before day? Yes. خَلَقَ الظُّلُمَاتِ وَالنُّورِ. He created the darkness and the night. Darkness before the night. And then the revelation of Quran that brings about a new creation and a new birth for the intellects and hearts of people says that he revealed it in the night of power. He revealed it in the night of power. And what will the night of power, and what is the night of power? Laylatul Qadr. Allati, the night in which there is sin, the angels and the spirit, and the angels following every errand that God gave them, not deviating or missing in any measure, but following exactly every errand that God, the Creator, gave them. That's the night of power. And it says the night of power in which the Quran was revealed, in which the revelation descended on the heart of Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, the last prophet, God's messenger, and his mercy to the world. So if we keep in mind that there is a progression for scripture, as there is a progression for the life of man on this earth, if we don't keep that in mind, we will not become the A students, the A class students in religion. We will miss too much. We will never be the first class or the A students in religion. We have to remember that the Quran, the Bible, and the Quran tells us that God advances the light so that the life will be advanced. It is advanced in stages. It is progressional, progressing to a point, to a point, to a point. But in the meantime, what is happening from beginning to the end? What is happening from the beginning of God ushering in the light and bringing it to its conclusion, where we can have peace and understanding, peace and understanding and justice, etc. Between the beginning and the end, what is happening? Satan, the enemy of mankind, not the enemy of God. Satan in his own mind thinks he's the friend of God. Satan in his own thinking thinks he's the friend of God. But because he will not follow the will of God for society, for man, he is both the enemy of man and the enemy of God. But he does not know that. He thinks his way of advancing the light is better than the way that God revealed to man, to Muhammad and to those before Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. So in the meantime, there is interference and deceits. Satan works deceits to keep man from progressing as God will that he progress in the light with his life, with the good life, with the good life. Because God wants us to have not just life, but the good life. As it is said in the Holy Scriptures. The good life. And it is in Scripture, and also in one of Muhammad's prophecies. And Scripture says, in the Bible, Holy Bible, it says, there will come a famine, and the famine will cover the whole earth. Famine means no food. People starving. And the famine will cover the whole earth. It says it will not be a famine of food. It'll be a famine of hearing the word of God. So this interference by Satan, confusion that he brings into the path of man, to the path of life, brings darkness to come on. So God says he is the one who brings darkness in the light, but he's also the one who reverses, and he brings the light from the darkness and the darkness from the light. So originally it was the light from the darkness. Satan comes in and makes the darkness that God didn't create. It's another darkness, the darkness of the world. And then God has to bring the people from that darkness into the light, from that darkness into the light. So, and then he reversed from the light to the darkness. The light, what is the light? The book, the revelation, that's the light. And the Bible says, it's in the Bible, say there will be a book. And a man will come by this book. He will get it, he will come to, will have this book in his hands. But he won't be able to read it. This is the book of Revelation. This is the book of life. And the Bible says, he will go to one he thinks can read, and he will say, can you read this to me? And the first person he goes to is not even a reader of letters. That person says, I'm sorry, I'm not a reader of letters. And he takes it on, and he takes it to someone who finally, he takes it to someone who can read letters. And this person looks at it and read it, and he says, I'm sorry, it's sealed. S-E-A-L-E-D. It's sealed. Meaning, I can read letters, but I can't read this. It's blocked against me. It's sealed against my perception, against my sights, against my intelligence. So he couldn't read it either. So that is another description of darkness coming upon the world, and no one can bring you light except God and those that he selects to bring the light. And it's a sign that the light is there, but people can't see by it. The man has the light. The light is in the book. We have plenty of light in these great revelations, these great scriptures we have. Plenty of light there. But many and most are walking in darkness. So the light is here, but they're walking in darkness. But it says, and God is the one who can bring the darkness to come after the light. And what is this darkness that God brings after the light? Is it the darkness of ignorance? No. God will never bring the darkness of ignorance on you. Is it the darkness of sin and corruption? No. What darkness does God bring upon you? God brings upon you the darkness of obedience. Without your intelligence. He brings the people to be babies again, like babies, having faith and not caring whether they see or not, but moving on faith. Yes. Black light, huh? Moving on faith. I'm just taking something from the world, black light. They move on faith, and that's how all of us come into the light again. When the world comes under darkness and the word of God is not helping us find the light, we come back in the light by accepting to obey God and not go ahead of God's help. Stay with faith and not go ahead of God's help. And just stay with faith and wait on God's help. And God's help will come eventually, and God's help will lead you out of the darkness. Of faith without guidance, of faith without logic, of faith without reason, or reasoning. He will lead you out of that where you can use your intelligence again. You can use your reasoning again. You can use your logic, human logic again. And you can walk in the light with those tools or those legs. Praise be to Allah, it's wonderful. I'm telling you of my personal experience. And that's how I can read it so clearly in the Bible, because I experienced that. And that's why I'm able to read it so clearly in the Quran, because I have experienced that. I was told that Islam was the religion, the right religion. And I was told that Allah is God. I was told that Muhammad is the messenger of God. But that Muhammad, I was told, was my father, not the Muhammad that really brought the Quran or the Holy Scriptures of Muslims into the world from God. I was told that my father was that Muhammad. I was told those things. I was told many other things. Some of these things I don't want to burden you with right now. I was told many things. And I was following, not going ahead of my father, standing still in the darkness of my lack of understanding. On faith I stood, and I struggled to be obedient, to obey my mother. She told me, Wallace, be honest, be truthful, give your life before your word fails, before you let your word fail. This is the teaching I got, and many other teachings I got that strengthened me and made me very strong in my determination to be correct in my religion. I didn't want to be wrong in my religion. And I had things that were conflicting. I remember something that occurred in the time of Malcolm, when Malcolm was the spokesperson, the speaker, for the honor of Elijah Muhammad to the public, to the world, to America and the world. By way of media, Malcolm went out to get the media's attention, and he got that. He was shrewd and very sharp with it. So he got the media's attention, and the American public saw Malcolm, came to know Malcolm, and the world came to know Malcolm. And I remember something happening, and there was a meeting, a public meeting, a public address, a big one, that was attracting his followers from around the country. And Malcolm was appointed by my father to be the main speaker at that occasion. But my father asked me, and this is the only time that he asked me, to accompany Malcolm and to speak on a program with Malcolm. I had done it before, but I had done it at Malcolm's invitation, not at my father's bidding. So my father this time, he said, He said, son, I want you to be there at that meeting, and I want you to be with Malcolm on the podium, and I want you to speak to the crowd. I didn't understand it back then. It took me years to understand why my father wanted me there. I wish my father had let me stay, and I wish he had gone. And you're going to understand why in just a couple of few seconds. There was a representative from the white organization, the Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, KKK. He was invited to that meeting. And when I stood up to speak, it was after Malcolm had spoke. I looked at him. He was to my right, like here, right over there sitting down. Rockwell, representing the Klan. He had said some complimentary things about my father. You know what he said? He said, we know Elijah, and we respect Elijah. Say he's a man like our leader, Hitler. That's what he said at this meeting. So when I got up to speak, my spirit brought me just to fall, my eyes to fall right on him. So I messed up the day for that program. And for Malcolm, because Malcolm had accepted to invite him, Rockwell, to that meeting. Malcolm was so desperate to get something to help the argument that he brought the devil in and had the devil sitting there to speak in the favor of the honor of Elijah Muhammad. Now, see, he was raised in the streets and in prison. I was raised in the home of Clara Muhammad and Elijah Muhammad. That's where I was raised. So we had a different spirit and a different conditioning. He had a different conditioning. I looked at that devil, and I said, you're not welcome here. I said, you are not welcome here, Mr. Rockwell. I said, I can't understand it. I don't know why you're here. It's the worst of the devils. sitting down there and made comfortable. I burned him up, but he wasn't comfortable anymore. And I looked at Malcolm, and Malcolm wasn't comfortable either. I said, well, you just have to burn, baby, with that devil over there. I didn't say that to him. I said that in my own mind. I said, if you ain't comfortable, if you're angry, just be uncomfortable, along with that devil I'm looking at over there. Rockwell. Well, you see, that was darkness, wasn't it? Now, I learned later that my father had nothing to do with inviting him. But for me, along for years, I'm thinking that my father approved of the program, all of it, you see? So that was darkness for me, a hurting darkness, a darkness that hurt me. So I got to make sense of this message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and this message of the Nation of Islam. I got to make sense of it. My parents formed me, influenced me, informed me to want to make intelligent, good, moral sense of something before I accept it. That's how they did that to me. I didn't do it to myself. They raised me like that. They influenced me to be like that. If I can't make intelligent, good, moral sense of a thing, I don't want it. And as I said, I'll say it again, my parents made me like that. My mother first, and then my father. I didn't come to know my father, really, in my environment, in my physical environment, until I was about 13 years old. For the early years of my life, he was away preaching in other cities and also trying to escape being hurt or killed by enemies. And for 7 more years of my life, my father was in prison, in jails or in a federal prison. So really, my brothers and sisters, we didn't have him, especially myself, because I was the youngest child until my brother Akbar was born. So we didn't have my father. We had our grandfather, and he was wise to write from prison. He wrote a letter to my mother from prison, and he said, have my father and my mother come and stay with you all. When he did that, he gave us a male figure in the house. And my grandfather was the one that made me his close friend and buddy. He didn't want to go anywhere, not even to the store, without me being with him. In the park, wherever he went, he wanted me with him. And I wanted to be with him. We just became like glue, stuck to each other like glue. And my grandmother, she was a quiet woman, but occasionally she would give me attention to strengthen my spirit and to strengthen my obedience to God and to what is righteousness or what is right. So that's the kind of life I had. So here I am trying to make sense of things in the dark, but holding my steps, not stepping ahead of my father. I never wanted to step ahead of my father, never stepping ahead of him to draw my own conclusions against what he was telling us. I didn't do that until I got older, and he then influenced me again. He gave us Arabic teachers from the Palestinian. He was a Palestinian, to teach us Arabic so we would learn how to read the Quran in Arabic. My father gave us this help in Chicago in the University of Islam, the school that he developed and kept for us.